Breakaway House, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. The brilliant yet balmy sunshine of early September fell on a hatless man lounging on a wide seat made of gum saplings. A man whose strong face would have aroused speculation in the observant, had he been anywhere else but just where he was. Here on the lip of a Murchison breakaway, colourful space with far-flung boundaries, so overwhelmed one with a panorama of scintillating tints, an intoxicant to the imagination and a vision of freedom known only to swift birds, that a solitary man was lost in the grandeur of his surroundings. This was the rock-bound coast of a sea that never was. Never had the ocean roared against the rock-strewn foot of this curving 100-foot cliff, which swept away to the northwest to end in a mighty headland of black and brown, stabbing into a sea of dove-grey saltbush, and to the south, curved out to westward, to end in an escarpment of ironstone and granite rubble, amongst which specks of mica reflected the sun, as though an escaping thief had thrown away all the jewels of India. Perhaps it was familiarity, or perhaps some secret sorrow or flaming hope, but Brett Filson seemed blind to this imposing picture. To reach the cliff, you left his homestead by the front door, walked through the small vegetable patch lovingly cared for by Soddy Jackson, the cook, passed through the garden gate, crossed the mimey magnet track, passed through another gate in a six-wire fence, pushed the 100 yards through thick mulga, and abruptly burst out upon the granite edge of a precipitous cliff one never dreamed was there. Such was the surprise Western Australia gave to Harry Tremaine, when he, having left his saddle horse in the Balgarda Yards and inquired for Brett Filson, followed Jackson's careful directions. With the wall of dark green bush at his back, Harry Tremaine barely noticed the figure on the bush seat. The man whose hair was almost white, whose left shoulder was slightly lower than the other, and in whose right hand was the comfortable handle of a serviceable stick. Against his will, his gaze was drawn instantly to the electrically attractive vision of colour and space. "Wanting to see me?" the seated man asked with quiet yet distinct articulation. Tremaine started, as though from a reverie, and walked with the mincing stride of a horseman the few yards to confront the Balgarda squatter. "Mr. Filson." He looked down on the face of a man who knew suffering, encountered the hazel eyes of one who was courageous, a man hardly 40 years of age, and yet, "Yes, I'm Filson. What can I do for you?"